Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, August the 22nd, 235th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor out of the 3rd, Mark Lovelace.
Hey, guy. How are you doing?
Good. Have you played with the ponies yet?
No. Went out to the fair, but didn't play the ponies.
So your heart's more of a cotton candy kind of guy?
No, I did kind of take account of all the different kinds of deep fried things on a stick there, but just was happy to see that all the traditional unhealthy fair food is all there. But there were also some healthy options, which was, you know,
really,
yeah, surprisingly.
What?
There was a natural foods booth there.
Anybody in the
there
line?
Was some Mexican food that.
Well, Mexican food's a mainstay.
Yeah, pretty mainstream. You know, not deep fried version. But there was
no chimichangas,
candy bars on a stick, deep fried corn dogs, you know, onion rings that are in a vat of oil, just all the standard stuff there.
Yeah, so. That's part of what makes a fair a fair.
Yeah.
So. Once a year.
Indulge once a year. Yeah. And yeah, by the time the fair comes around next year, you'll have forgotten how your stomach felt afterwards.
Yeah, so. you recuperated.
Yeah.
This afternoon, we're not going to talk about fair cuisine. We are going to talk a little bit about the new revenue grant that's being kicked around to attract or maintain or enhance, or depending on who you're talking to, blah, 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 about air transportation and air service into and out of Humboldt County. So we'll spend a little bit of time talking about maybe the airport version 2 when we come back.
I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Viette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. But before we do, our quote this afternoon, sir.
Well, I just heard this one the other day, and I like it. It comes from General Dwight D. Eisenhower, and said, plans are worthless, but planning is invaluable.
Probably like budgets. You could probably substitute budget in there too, huh? Yeah.
The process of planning is the important part.
Absolutely.
Not the document.
Well, and the surprise reduction, hopefully, of going through the playing the what ifs, so to speak. Mm-hmm. The airport, we could draw some parallels. We don't have to be too goofy to do this one. A lot of people thought that the Delta experience was a negative one. Probably, though, I would guess that it was associated with the way they left town.
Mm-hmm.
Not the fact that it was going on, not the fact that people were flying, not the fact that it was being used, not the fact that they made money. It was how they left us. Is that a fair?
I think that you really hit it right on the head there. It's the revenue guarantee approach. I don't think a lot of people understood it. I certainly didn't understand it at the time. And so there was an expectation that it wasn't going to be expended, and that this was all going to work out fine, and that we'd have this air service forever. And when they announced, it was rather sudden, and it's my understanding that the payout from the revenue guarantee hadn't happened over time, and so it ended up being an all-at-once reconciliation where they said, you know, here's our losses, you owe us the entire amount, and we're out of here. And so that did really leave it was a very frustrating experience for a lot of people, and has made a lot of people less comfortable looking at this idea again.
Almost gun shy.
Yeah.
And the thing that I got out of it, Mark, and you know, maybe it's just me, I don't know, is that we were so close.
We were very close.
The numbers were close enough, and instead of saying, you know, 98% of the way there, okay, we'll ding you for the 2%. Or we'll hang out, but we need to kick it up just a tad. It was like black and white. Here comes the cleaver. Boom, it's over. Kind of, not really a partnership, I guess. Might be an easy way to say it. With any of the future deals, with any of the future carriers, or with those guys coming back, is there any way to try to develop a partnership sense rather than a black and white vendor?
I think that we can do a lot better than we did with Delta. But when we talk about this, I think it's important, first off, that we make sure people understand what a revenue guarantee is and how it works. One of the concerns people had was the idea that we're going to be giving some new airline $1 million to come in here, that once we've given them the money, why should they bother staying? A revenue guarantee, what it is essentially like an escrow account to cover their losses in arrears. And so the only time they get paid out of that escrow account is if they, on any given flight or a month of flights or quarterly or annually, whichever, however it's reconciled, for that period of time, if they suffer losses below a minimum level that's guaranteed by this, they can replenish, they can go back to that account to pay themselves back.
Now, when you say losses, is it loss because, let's say, gas prices go up? Big shock.
Mm-hmm. Or what, is like it, they're going to do that?
Yeah. Or is it because, let's say, they don't have the right number of passengers, mm-hmm. or they have to invest a little bit in the facilities so that their costs mm-hmm. are higher than what they expected, but the airplane count, mm-hmm. I guess, the passenger count yeah. or whatever that phrase is still okay, but that still doesn't mean that they're not suffering losses in other areas.
And that's, you know, you've hit on three of the big variables there. People have a tendency, when this has been presented in the past, there's been a tendency to look at the big number and think it's kind of an all or nothing thing and that it's all about the amount of the revenue guarantee. But the more important figure is what's called the flight revenue. And that's the amount that each flight has to make to be termed acceptable, to say that that flight met its budget. And so when you calculate how much it costs them to fly a plane, you know, it costs basically the same amount to fly a plane empty as it costs to fly full from point A to point B. They take that amount, they take a minimum amount of revenue profit because, you know, they're just frankly not in the business to do this at cost, and that as much as we wish they were. And then from that, whatever the passenger load is has to meet that amount. But we can't control the pricing, so we can't control how much they actually make. What we can do is we control the the overall price that or cost of the flight. So so the variables on how many passengers and how much they've paid are really left up to the mysteries of airline pricing.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight. Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. Mark, before we took the break, you were talking about how the revenue side mm-hmm. has to pencil in for the airline. And that kind of makes sense. But my general understanding about airplane industry is kind of like vehicle financing with a car dealership. You know that they're making money, and that's okay. But for the layperson to try to figure out how you're making money if you're selling it to me below your cost, I don't get it. Help me out. It kind of gets into the world of theory and magic. Mm-hmm. And maybe a lot of luck with the airlines so that we don't replicate. How do you, the bad experience, how do you get to the spot where you know that it's a solid relationship mm-hmm. and they're hitting the numbers that they need to, unless you just say, oh, okay, we're going to trust you, man?
Well, the reason that we're talking about this now is because, as you've probably heard, the county was recently awarded a $750,000 grant from what's called the Small Communities Air Service Development Program. It's a federal grant specifically for the purpose of trying to attract new air service. And we have to match that with $250,000 from local sources to be able to leverage that grant. And so the county is in the process right now of raising that $250,000, working with the Headwaters Fund, which has pledged a 50% match. So with that, we only need to raise $125,000. And we've got a number of matches already from the City of Eureka, a couple of other private parties, and a number of in-kind matches that bring that figure down significantly. I can't tell you right as we sit here what the number is that we're looking at, but we're below $100,000 that we're trying to raise locally to leverage this $750,000 grant.
Is this the same grant that Crescent City?
It's the same program.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
And the reason that you know we need to be able to understand this minimum revenue guarantee concept is because the last two new air services that we've had in Humboldt County were started with MRGs. People think, you know, want to look at only the Delta one and think that that was a bad experience. But before that,
Horizon was
the Horizon service that was started to LAX was originally started with an MRG. So, you know, these are, in one case, it was successful. We had air service for 9 years out of that, which is a pretty darn good run. And in another case, we came very, very close to being successful with within 3% of the target.
Is there any way to, why does United stay?
United stays right now, I think, because they've got a captive market. They're the only ones providing service, which becomes one of the issues in terms of offering this MRG. If United were to offer another route, they could, you know, they could do that today, and that would really make it a lot harder. That would leave a lot less room for another airline to come in, and yet United would still control the pricing in and out of here because they'd be the only one flying in.
Or conversely, why wouldn't United say, "Okay, guys, I want the insurance plan too," or we are pulling out?
Mm-hmm. Well, with this plan, this minimum revenue guarantee grant, we do get to control who we want to work with on it and what destination. Some other programs that had been offered in the past were very limited. That any airline offering to fly from, you know, this route, we have to give it to.
So the direct stuff that people have talked about wanting to go from either McKinleyville to LA or McKinleyville to Sacramento or McKinleyville to Denver or Salt Lake, that could be written into the language?
Yeah, we get to choose the route. The only thing that we can't do is have this, because we went to this source in the past to start the LAX route, you can't go back to the well for the same service. And so while we can fly through LAX on the way somewhere else, we ultimately have to be looking for a destination east. And so,
so
with
you'd
this,
say Phoenix?
If it happened
to go through LAX?
Dallas-Fort Worth, you know, potentially Salt Lake City again, but it would have to be through, or Denver is another possible route, but it would have to go through, or to be able to go through LAX, it would have to be ultimately going to one of those other routes. That wouldn't prevent folks from being able to buy just the first leg and use it just for LAX, but what we'd be seeking here is service to points east. So,
and that final destination is the one that
is the one that counts for the purposes of this grant.
So if 90% jumped off at L.A.,
yeah,
that's really not going to be that beneficial for a long-term stable relationship.
Yeah, they're still going to, because they're going to be using that through traffic for all of their route planning. So back to the flight revenue, though. That's the important figure that we need to talk about when we come back.
We're just going to milk this one and tease it to the end. That was revenue. Okay, I'll write that down so we've got that after the break.
Flight revenue.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Mark Lovelace.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. Mark, before the break, we were talking about this concept of flight revenue, mm-hmm. and that's what the magic figure is, and that's what makes everything happen with this new opportunity that the county has. That number, I think, is something that's pretty understandable as you discussed it. Is it beholden, or have you talked to, or is the county in discussions with any one carrier yet? Or do you present it out there and you go to four or five different carriers and say, here's the plan, you like it? Here's the plan, do you like it? And see who grabs the bait.
Well, with this grant, we're going to be in a much better position than we were last time. Last time, American Airlines, after having been in talks with them for about a year, going to different shows and conferences, they'd hemmed and hawed about being interested in this market, and then quite literally called us on a Tuesday and said, we want to start service June 15th. Can you get us a signed contract and $1 million by Friday?
Yeah, I remember you guys stunned became frustration very quickly.
I mean, my response to them was, you know, hi, government, have we met? It doesn't happen that fast. But we did our best to try to pull that together. However, we were working under the gun the whole time. We were working off of their contract format of what they wanted, and we were having to try to raise the money on the fly. This way, because we'll have the money in the bank, as it were, in advance of entertaining individual airlines, we'll be able to craft the terms of the revenue guarantee, some of the terms, to be as advantageous as possible. And of course, like any contract, the final version is going to have to be acceptable to both sides. So just because we get to come up with the starting format doesn't mean that's what the end product will be.
But does it, this, my sense is that there's a lot more flexibility that you could go to a Southwest mm-hmm. or any of the other carriers and say we would like to give you first shot at this.
And we can do that. We can shop it around and try to find the best route and the best carrier to fit our needs here in Humboldt County.
So how do you then determine what the best route is and what most people are interested in that aren't currently flying?
Well, the data that we were able to pull together when we were looking at talking with American Airlines in the past showed that far and away, after SFO, LAX is the most requested destination. And if I remember right, 47% of all the flights that go from here to SFO continue on to LAX. And so we know that there's a huge demand for that. And when we've looked at the, you know, where flights connect out of here going other places, I can't remember what the figure was for whatever's, you know, number three and number four down that list, but it's a huge difference. So we know that going through LAX to wherever people are going ultimately is by far, that's where the greatest need is at this time.
So there's a little bit of rolling the dice then, because if LAX is really where the drop-off point is for a large percentage, and you got your flight revenue to that end place that we may or may not know, do you end it at another hub? Like a Dallas or like a Denver or like a Chicago, and say, after that, you guys got to figure it out on your own?
And well, that'll be part of the calculation that the airline's doing. You know, they're going to be having to look at the data and figure out what makes sense to them. I'm sure they're going to be recognizing that they're probably going to have a certain percentage, a high percentage of the flights that will be only going to LAX. And then higher, you know, another percentage that's going to be continuing on to, you know, Denver, DFW, wherever that is.
If people join on at LAX and take that final run,
and they'll be able to do that too.
Get credit for that?
I don't think that we get that towards our flight revenue figure, but the reality is that it's very doubtful that it'll be the same plane going from here to LAX that would be going from there to the final destination. They'd be using the smaller, hopefully the regional jet still, instead of the little prop jet.
But there goes the jet that's carrying the majority of people.
Yeah, and so by nature, they will be merging with other travelers from other locations. Pooling those travelers onto a larger plane at that point.
And again, because of the Delta being the last one going directly from here to LAX, you don't have that as an option. What about like from here to Sacramento to LAX? So it still ends up there so that the commuter is still served the same way, but there's a touch at Sacramento where there's not nearly as much fog or one runway as there would be through SFO. Would that be... Could that be in the cards?
Well, United does serve Sacramento right now, so that's not considered a new market for us. So we wouldn't be able to use it for that. Though we could presumably use it, if it was a flight path that was going through Sacramento on its way to another place, just like same way we were talking about LAX. As someone who does fly to Sacramento occasionally, can tell you that the problem we have right now is that United Sacramento route is linked to their SFO route. And so, the delays in Sacramento are almost always due to planes being down in San Francisco and it's too foggy to take off or too foggy to land or something. So,
and isn't that the most frustrating thing in the world?
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. 3:47. We'll be back with more from Mark Lovelace.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Hagee Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. Mark, in hindsight, after the emotion is drained out of the swamp and you look at the Delta couple of years, was it a learning experience? Was it positive? Was the remodeling something that was needed anyway? In a bushel, was that a positive overall, even though the way it ended up wasn't?
Well, there's a number of different ways to look at it. For one, that service started right before the worst economic collapse since the Great Depression. And even with that, we came very, very close to having it be a successful route. So we can say that had it been any other timing than the timing it was, it probably would have worked. But even without that, trying to quantify the benefit to our community of having that flight, even if we only had it for a year, some 45,000 people flew out of Arcata to other places, to Salt Lake City, points east, wherever, on business or for business or pleasure, or flew back in. And so can we, without being able to necessarily, really track it and figure out this person was flying business and they were able to make this sales call and they were able to get this many, new contracts or pick up a new distributor here or something of that sort, we may not be able to really quantify it, but it really isn't a stretch to imagine that with 45,000 people using that flight out of here, largely on business, that we very likely, almost certainly, got $1 million of benefit out of that or more.
That would be, I would think, a pretty conservative.
Yeah, we may not be able to quantify it, but that doesn't mean that it's not there. Again, if any one business being able to pick up a couple of new accounts, doing the conference circuit or trade shows or something of that sort, it doesn't take much to see a benefit in that way. And of course, that's people have a tendency to think of it that this only benefits the jet set, the folks that actually fly in and out of here. But when that's a person that's doing business for their company, and that company has, you know, 40, 50, 100 employees, if you pick up new business, new clients, that benefits the people that work there.
That brings money
into our economy.
Have you ever heard that argument used about the roads coming in and out? Well, that only benefits people coming in and out.
Well, anyone can drive, you know, but not everyone flies, is the way that that's put. But so recognizing that, you know, it's this is how we sell product. This is how we sell Humboldt-made products around the country, is by accessing those markets. And without air service, without reliable internet, without the ability to get product in and out of here, you know, we can't grow our economy without those things. We have to stay connected to the outside world if we want to grow.
You really get people pushing back about the airplane service, huh?
There are certainly people who fly so infrequently or don't fly on business. And, you know, until a few years ago, that would have been me too.
But the lack of recognition that that is part of the lifeblood that does keep business. Just look at the kids coming into Humboldt State.
Yeah.
I mean, there's too many easy examples.
Well, certainly Roland Richmond understands the importance of
I would think, and probably most parents who have kids going to school.
Or just as another example of the value of it. Do you think that having, you know, all those parents and family coming in for graduation at the end of the year might bring $1 million into our economy? Not a stretch.
Yeah. Duh. I think that's a pretty safe investment.
Yeah.
Let's just see if we can keep them here for a couple
of
years.
So, again, just because we can't quantify it doesn't mean the benefit isn't there.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.